March 16th, 2019 session of TeamSpeak for HPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I was playing a little bit with the OpenHPSDR program, a web programmer code, and I got it discovering both Protocol 1 and Protocol 2 boards and multiple radios on each one. So, making a little progress, I keep thinking about how to redesign the structure to make it a little more efficient. So, those thoughts keep coming in my mind, but I haven't quite gotten there yet. So, anyway, that's it for me. Next on the list, we have Mike, AA8K, shown as recording and Mike muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to TeamSpeak. tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next on the list, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, evening, all. Not much to report this week. Had a quite a lot of projects to work on, but I've been following the discussions between Rudiger and Warren, and I won't steal Warren's thunder, so I'll let him pass on. Make the comments on that, but hopefully have a bit more time the coming week to test some of the Protocol 2 code that others are refining at the moment. So I look forward to doing that. That's about all from down under. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Warren in R0V, and hopefully you've dug out it from under the snowfall. Go ahead, Warren.
Okay, Dave, thanks, and good day to everyone. And yeah, the snowfall actually wasn't too much of an inconvenience for me, and I think maybe it was worse in some places than it was immediately here. But you know, I was out and around Wednesday and Thursday and today, and everything's been fine for me. Wednesday, I think there wasn't that much snow, but I think the wind blowing the snow created some serious problems with visibility and at times for people, and so that was probably some of the worst of it. But by today, here where I am, the roads are dry, the sun was out, there's very little snow left anywhere. And everything's looking pretty good. However, I heard the storm was headed your way, Dave, so don't know what that means for you. As far as radio activity, not too much, really. I've been working, well, let me back up here just a little bit. Phil did some new firmware to support the EER efforts here a few weeks ago, and some companion, or anyway, the software needed to be made to work in a companion mode to that and work correctly. And we had a little problem with that. And Rudiger has been very patient with me and testing, and I've been giving him new releases and so on and so on. But my biggest problem was this runs on Hermes, and I did not have a Hermes test set up. And so Rudiger, as I said, has been very patient. He's been doing the testing, and I've been trying to guess essentially what's wrong. But finally this week, I borrowed some components from people. You know, I'm in a temporary living situation, and I don't have all my own stuff. So I borrowed some things. I put together a Hermes setup. And after that, it was a fairly short matter to figure out the problem and give Rudiger some software that I believe meets all his needs. And hopefully we'll hear more from him over the next day or two here. He has some pretty exciting new hardware that he's assembled there to test as well. And, you know, hopefully we're going to hear some exciting reports about his entire high-efficiency amplifier system there. So that's probably about it for me, and back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business, Warren, and yeah, I don't know if we're going to have snow. I know the storm is coming our way, but we've been having quite a bit of rain. So the one kind of scary thing is Missouri River is going to be at flood stage for a while, but not as high as it has been in the past, so we're hoping not too many people will be inconvenienced. Anyway, the next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Dave and everybody. Yeah, nothing too much here. Just heads down working these days, so very little or no radio time at all this week. So, weather here in Texas is beautiful, and the blue bonnets are out. So I'll turn it back to you, Dave.
Fine business. And next on the list is Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording and away. And that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
Great progress, Warren. Thanks for your help with that. And, urgently, but looking forward to hearing what the full results of the tests are. Just one question. The 800 microsecond delay, which is way beyond anything I ever expected, do you know where that's coming from? Is it coming from the code I'm using to generate the envelope?
Well, let's see. I may have to pull up your diagram and think about that. Yeah, you know, I think Rudiger's analysis is that only 7 or 8 microseconds of that relates to his filtering. So the rest of it is apparently in the firmware. And I may have to pull up the diagram and think about it, but it... I suppose wouldn't necessarily be only in the code that you use to generate the envelope. It might be in the in some of the code before that. But I should probably pull up the diagram and look at it, Phil.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for it. I mean, I'm using pipelining for the generating the squaring is no problem at all. The square root is the most difficult bit, and using pipeline to do that. But I didn't optimize the pipeline. I looked at the sort of pipelines I've done, and you know, for other bits of code I've written over the years, and made that selection. The other alternative, well, I was just thinking, other alternative would be to do it using some form of Cordic, but that's going to have delays as well. But well, I guess you know, if that level of delay is the delay should be constant, which it appears to be, and as long as we accommodate it, I guess it doesn't really matter, and perhaps I shouldn't be spending too much time looking at it. But certainly, when I look at the envelope with no delay set anywhere, I look at the envelope coming out of Hermes through a simple low-pass filter, which has got about 12 nanosecond delay. Then the envelope and the RF, if I use amplitude modulated INQ, are absolutely in alignment. So I'd have thought with 400 microseconds or 800 microseconds of delay somewhere, they'd be visible on the scope, but not for some reason. But anyway, I'll hopefully have a little bit of time during the week, and I can start going through the email exchanges you had during the way and catch up to see exactly what needs to be done, if anything.
Yeah, okay, Phil. You know, the first thing that pops into my mind is FIFOs that may have some samples in them, because, of course, we come in at a 48K sample rate, and at 48K, each sample in the FIFO is over 20 microseconds. And, you know, if there could even be FIFOs at perhaps higher rates somewhere in that pipeline that would generate delay. So FIFOs were kind of the first thing that popped into my mind, but I don't really know exactly what your architecture looks like.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. Also, there's the I'm trying to think in my mind. We come in at 48K, then we go into the interpolate FIA. There's still obviously going to be delays in there. So yeah, okay, it could be. I just thinking, I just got in my mind somewhere that I was causing the delay in the in the envelope calculation, but it's possible that's not the case. As you say, it's possible it occurs before then.
Yeah, that was my thought. I don't know how you do the square root in firmware and how much of that is sequential versus parallel. I've just never thought about how one would do that in Verilog. So I don't know how much delay there is in that. Sounds like you believe that part must be fairly short.
It's pipelined at 22 clocks, and the clocks are at the clock speed is 122.88 megs. So it's basically, I don't know, it's a Taylor series, but it's one of the series you can use for creating step square roots, which I found in one of the maths books I have here. Yeah, I think probably looking before that. And of course, the fear that I use to do the interpolation is different to the fear I'm using if the I and Q stream for the transmitter. So that's perhaps where there's a timing alignment missing there. But anyway, I'll have a look through, because it does seem like a long delay. But I've been thinking at the high clock speed, not at the 48K. And as you say, don't need too many FIFO delays in there to total. But anyway, I guess the good news is it's compensatable and consistent, which is exactly what we want, I guess.
Yeah, at that magnitude of delay, as long as it's stable, I don't see why it's a huge problem. But it would be nice to understand, you know, where it's coming from and so on.
Yeah, okay. The other one is, I'm rather embarrassed that I missed the delay that's built in, the amplifier delay that's built into pure signal. I've never noticed that value before, and I guess you can put that into for the individual amplifier you're working on. But so do you normally just leave that as a default value, which you found to be, you know, reasonably average for the tests you've done, Warren, or does the, you know, do you advise the user to play with that value?
Well, you know, it's not a terribly sensitive parameter, but if you really want to optimize your results, then I would encourage the operator to take a look at it and vary it up and down and try to optimize the result. It also probably varies by band, because the low pass filters in the typical amplifier. And we could even, you know, save it by band or something like that. But because it's relatively, we're relatively insensitive to it, we've just never gone to that level of sophistication and never really had any requests for it. But now that you have noticed it, you know, the intent to calculate the correction, we have to match input samples with output samples from the amplifier, and there is a delay through the amplifier, and so to do that, we essentially have to delay the input samples so that they match up in time with the output samples, and so that's what that really does.
Okay, thanks Warren. So any delay through the envelope generation path and the RF path, no, that wouldn't have the effect, would it? That wouldn't be. Because you're comparing the feedback, the RF feedback signal, with the transmit signal. So that's not in the path where I generate the envelope signal.
Well, sort of. You know, the if there's a delay in generating the envelope signal, then there has to be a corresponding delay in generating the phase signal, so that those two match up. And let's see. And then, but we're getting the amplifier input feedback signal from the envelope IQ before you generate the envelope. Looking at your diagram here, I just pulled it up. And so, you know, that 815 is going to, or does appear in the delay that we need to use to, in pure signal as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I'm just looking at the diagram myself now. Yeah, okay. Okay, well, that all makes sense now, and I see where the where the delays need to be applied. So that's great. Well, looking forward to Rudiger's more detailed testing, but certainly initial results look very, very good indeed.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been very, very busy today, his time, and I haven't heard from him today, my time, but I expect we will over the weekend, and I'm hoping for some very exciting results.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much, Will.